Thank you, Brother John and Crystal. That was a blessing. Aren't you glad that Jesus came down and became a man that he could die for us? Amen. If we have any remaining children in here that go to Children's Church, the time for them to be dismissed is now. And over there with Pastor and Mrs. Bloom. And I've got a couple customers. And there a lot of things going on right now. We have children's choir, but we also have what's called a Vacation Bible School choir. They're getting ready for Vacation Bible School. And there's actually a lot of kids back. And you pray for them back there. Galatians chapter 6, if you have your Bibles. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to share a very familiar verse with you guys tonight. And I think that my prayer was to have some new thoughts, new ways to look at this. And my prayer is, again, it will be a help to you tonight. Galatians chapter 6. If you're there, you can stay seated. But look at verse 7. It says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, I ask your help tonight as we consider this verse and consider the truth of this verse. Father, help to have an impact on each life here. Father, we pray if someone's here that doesn't know for sure heaven's their home, they would just understand there's nothing they could do of themselves to go to heaven. They simply need to rely on what Christ has already done for them. And they put their trust in Christ as their only hope for heaven. And so, Father, please bless our time now. Help me, Father, have the words that are needed in each heart tonight. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You reap what you sow. When I was an older teenager, I had a car. It was a Maverick. You remember a Maverick? It was quite the car. It was yellow with stripes on it, black stripes. Looked like a bumblebee. And that was my car. It had 3-speed on the column. It really, I bought one of those foot things you put on the gas pedal so I could be cool, and a little foot that you put on the dimmer switch. And I really was cool. And so I did not drive fast. Well, you couldn't drive fast in that car. I mean, it was 0 to 60 in about 20 minutes. But I had a habit of doing something. At home, I didn't speed around at home, but we had like what's called a carport. In the carport, there was like a lattice, a metal lattice, about this far apart, and it had all the scrolly things in it, and it was up there. And so, because I was in college, probably a freshman in college when I was home from school, I was cool. And I'd get in my car, and I'd open the door, get in, and start it, and start to roll back. Very slowly, not speeding. And then as I was rolling back, I would shut the door. That was really cool. And so one time I got in my car, I start rolling back, but I guess I must have rolled back further. And right when I went grabbed the door hit that metal lattice and just made a terrible noise, twisted it all around, knocked the screws out, but it still had 2 screws holding it on. So I said, oh, no. And so I pulled up a little bit and I went over there and I tugged on it. I couldn't get it to do anything. So I walked out to the barn and got a fence post and went and just knocked it right off the rest of the way with the fence post. And I had to go somewhere. So I left. When my parents come home later, I wasn't home yet. They noticed, hey, that what happened to the thing there? And my dad said, well, Rick must have knocked it off. And my mom was so sweet. She said, oh, Ricky would never do anything like that. And, of course, I had. And I didn't get in big trouble. But here's the situation. I sowed stupidity. And I reaped embarrassment for years because I knocked the thing off the thing. You always reap what you sow. The Bible says, and this is really an immutable truth. Immutable means it doesn't change. All through the Bible, it says, has the idea, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. This is a truth that even unsaved people get. A saved person can understand it. If you plant apple seeds, you're going to have apples. If you plant squash, you're going to get squash. If you plant pumpkins, you're going to get pumpkins. And That is an unchanging truth. It'll never change. When Paul wrote the Galatians in about AD 58, he wrote this, and it was true then, and it's still true today. All these years later, you reap what you sow. So put a thing in here in Galatians. We're going to come back to that. But turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Let me tell you why I'm sharing this. And for two reasons. One, Proverbs chapter 6, right after the book of Psalms. I have a Bible class. And we're teaching Old Testament survey. And I went through all my material this year, and I got done too soon. So I had about 3 weeks to the end of the quarter. So I taught through the book of Proverbs. In fact, the young man that played the piano tonight, Silas, is one of my students. And he plays so well under my tutelage that he's started playing like that. But I shared this with him. Look in Proverbs 6, and here we'll see the principle of reaping and sowing. Look in verse 9. It says, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man." Look over in chapter 13 quickly. Chapter 13, in verse 4. It says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing." And so what I share with the class, there's a principle here of reaping and sowing. And you may want a good grade in school. That may be your desire. But if you're lazy and you do not study and get prepared, and we have a test tomorrow, you may pray for Silas. He's got to take the test tomorrow. If you don't do what you should, you're not going to get what you desire. And the reason is because this unchangeable truth, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. And that's never going to change. It's still true today. And so I shared that with the class, and we had our senior adult lunch, and if you were here for that, I shared this also with them because I got to thinking about it. You know, that was something to tell my students that. But what about me? What about me? I'm a senior adult. Does it apply to me? And the answer is yes. You reap what you sow. A lot of times I told the senior adults, I just thinking about myself, if there's something you desire spiritually, it's not going to happen if you don't do something about it, because you're going to reap what you sow. And many times, if you're a senior here, and I'm a senior, so I can say this, we say, well, I've done my part. I've done my part. I've done all this over the years. Or, I just can't do what I used to do because, you know, whatever, my body's falling apart. Or and we make a lot of excuses. But the truth of the matter is, there's always something you can do for the Lord, even as a senior adult. And the reason we ought to do it is because you reap what you sow. Yes, you might not be able to sow as much as a senior adult, because things don't work the way they used to. But there's always something to do for the Lord. But those things won't get accomplished if we don't set out to do them, because you reap what you sow. You understand sowing is like planting a seed. Reaping is collecting a harvest. And so that is a true statement. You always will reap what you sow. Nothing that we can do will change that truth. Nothing that we could say, nothing that we could even reason out will change it. If you're still in Proverbs here, look in chapter 20. Now, I understand that... sometimes we're not doing what we ought to do for the Lord, and we'll come up with an excuse. Here's someone in Proverbs that has an excuse, and it might be very legitimate. Proverbs 20, verse 4 says, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold." So the excuse of the lazy person was, "I can't do it because it's cold outside." How many would rather work when it's cold outside or hot outside? I'm all for the for the cold outside. but that's an excuse, but it could be very legitimate. But what's the result of that? Look in verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall beg and harvest and have nothing. What happened? They reaped what they sowed. They reap what they sowed. Sometimes the excuses we make, I would call them a lame excuse. Look in chapter 22. Look in verse 13. It says, the slothful man saith, there's a lion without, and I shall be slain in the streets. Well, there's something they need to do, but I can't go out and do it because the lion could be out there and they could eat me or kill me or slay me. And not a very good excuse. And sometimes we try to reason our way around this truth. You reap what you sow by making an excuse, whether it's a good excuse or a poor excuse. And the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter how clever your excuse is. Look in chapter 26. In chapter 26, in verse 16, it says this. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. You know, it doesn't really matter how clever we are. It doesn't change the truth of the matter that you reap what you sow. In fact, if you remember, we read back in Galatians, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. You can't trick God. That principle, that truth is not going to change, that we reap what we sow. If you've gone to a Baptist church a long time, you probably have heard this before, that someone during the week sows their wild oats. You ever heard that? You're sowing your wild oats, not doing what you ought to. Then they come to church on Sunday and pray for crop failure. How many's ever heard that? Okay, that's what they do. They're praying that they don't reap what they've sown. But no matter what you think or what you could do, it's not going to change the truth of that principle. Look over in chapter 24. Look in verse 30. My goal tonight is for us to learn and learn something about this principle, this truth that you reap what you sow. It says in verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful, which means lazy, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I looked and considered it well. I looked upon it, and notice that phrase, and received instruction. And that's what I hope y'all do tonight, to receive the instruction, the lesson that you reap, what you sow. In this passage, They were lazy. In fact, verse 33 says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Here's a person, they had opportunity to try to do something with their crops and what they were doing. And they didn't do anything. And so when harvest time came, they had nothing. Just like I was advising the students, if you won't study, you're not going to get the grade you desire. And it's true with everything we do in our Christian life. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Now, some might say, well, this is so basic. I've heard this before. I want the deep stuff. You got to get up here and preach something deep. Listen, why don't we start with the shallow stuff? And understand that this is a truth that will have a tremendous impact on you. It's life-changing if we would just get a handle on your reap what you sow. And yet so many times you don't. Why don't we get it? Why isn't this something that we really can get a grasp on? Why do we miss it? Well, one reason might be we hear it a lot. How many have heard messages about the reaping and sowing? We've all heard messages about reaping and sowing. And sometimes I think we kind of tune it out because I've heard this before. Well, you might have heard it before, but just because you've heard it before doesn't change what it says. You reap what you sow. Sometimes we forget, and it's because we're distracted. There's a lot of things to distract in this world today, a lot of busyness, a lot of pressure, a lot of difficulties, and we forget a truth like this. But I think one of the big reasons we forget about it is we're deceived. We're convinced by the world of something else. What does Galatians say? Be not deceived. this is a truth that's always going to be true. You reap what you sow. And so tonight, in the time we have left, I just want to share three things to help us get a better handle on this truth. And I hope these are a help to you. There's just three things. If you're taking notes, three things that help you get a better handle on the truth that we reap what we sow. Here's number one. This will help us if we'll do this. You ask yourself this question. What is it I really want? What is it that I really want? Now, we mentioned students. The students want a good grade, don't they? They'd like to have a good grade or a better grade. And so you reap what you sow. You want a better grade? It'd behoove you to get your work done and study. So when the test comes, you can do the best that you can. You reap what you sow. Maybe it's an adult here. Just maybe you want to lose weight. I want to lose weight. So I'll get me a double quarter pounder with a large fry, but a Diet Coke. And that'll help me. You're going to reap what you sow, right? You might have a desire to do that. Is that what you really want? You'll reap what you sow. Maybe you want a new home or a car. And you know you need to save, but you're being wasteful in your spending and your money, and you just don't get a new car. Why? Because you reap what you sow. What is it that you really want? And, of course, the important part of that is spiritually. Spiritually. What is it you really want? Do you want to see people saved? I'm not asking you to raise your hand. Do I want to see people saved? Turn quickly to Psalms. We're going to come back to Proverbs again, but Psalms 126. Do you want to see people saved? We're coming up to a ministry. We see a lot of children be saved and some adults through Vacation Bible School. And if you haven't signed up, I encourage you, if there's a way you can help. But please pray for it, because why? We have Vacation Bible School so we can get out the gospel so young people, so moms and dads can be saved. Hearing the gospel. Why do we do that? Because you reap what you sow. It's easy to say, I'd like to see people saved. You got to do some things so people can be saved, so they can hear the gospel. I love Psalms 126, verse 5. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What I want you to note about that is, verse 5, they sow in tears. And in verse 6, they goeth forth and weepeth. That doesn't mean you literally have to go cry, but you have a burden for the lost. Is that something you really like to see in your life? Well, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. We need to get the gospel out and do what we can to get the gospel out. It might be handing tracts. It might be talking one-on-one to somebody. It might be working in Vacation Bible School and helping the teacher so they can really focus in on their lessons and sharing the gospel. But that's not going to happen, because if we don't sow, we're not going to reap. Maybe that's what you'd like to see. Maybe I want to know more of the Bible. How many would like to know more of the Bible? That's a tremendous spiritual goal, to know more. You can study it your whole life and keep learning stuff. It's not like I've learned it all now. You can keep learning. Is that desire of your heart? Well, you're going to reap what you sow. You need to study. You need to read your Bible. You need to come to Sunday school and church and hear the Bible taught so you can learn it, because you'll reap what you sow. I want to be better in my prayer life. How do you get better in your prayer life? Well, you got to pray. You reap what you sow. You know, your prayer life, there's a lot of things you can do, and there's a lot of, and one of the big things is making lists so you can pray for different people and different things and different ministries, and it helps you keep track. And I'm going to pray for this on Monday, this for Tuesday, this Wednesday, and do those things. But you won't get better unless you do some things like that, because you reap what you sow. I want my kids to turn out right. And a lot of you still have kids, some of them little, some of them middle-sized, some of them teenagers. Well, you're going to reap what you sow. You got to put time in your kids. You got to teach your kids. You got to get your kids to church. Because if you don't, you're going to reap what you sow. But I want better kids. You got to put in the work to do it. You know, I think Apostle Paul had a real good grasp on this. Colossians 3:2, we're not going to turn there for sake of time. He said one thing, set your affections, the things you really want. What did he say? On the things above. And we need to have an internal perspective. That's how he overcame a lot of difficulties in life. Again, we don't have time to turn to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says he didn't look at the temporal things, but the things which could not be seen. In other words, eternity. And focus in on eternity. And when we focus in on eternity, it'll help us. Look back at Proverbs 4. I hope you held your finger there. I'm sorry if I didn't tell you to hold your finger there. I only got so many fingers, Pastor Rick. I can't put them everywhere. Here's a hint. You ever seen these things, helpful hints? This is a helpful hint for you about making good choices and say, what do I really want? What do I really want? And some things that we can want are not anything wrong with them. And so if you want to accomplish those things, you got to start trying to do it. Do what you have to do. You'll reap what you sow. But spiritually, especially, you're going to reap what you sow, what you put into it. Proverbs chapter 4, look in verse 14. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. So he's talking about making choices in life. And for instance, we have that aisle over there. And let's say that aisle is people that don't really care about living for the Lord. And they're going down that path and they're having a great time. And the writer of the Proverbs here says, you need to go on past that and go in a different path. Like this path is the path where people are traveling through life and they're trying to serve the Lord and they're trying to do their best for Christ. And they're serving. And it says, walk by that path and go on this path. It looks like they're having a great time over there. There's a lot of people there, not very many here. I want to go with the crowd. That's going good. I want to go down that path. And then you have this path, not too many people. They seem a little more serious, though, if they really look at Christians for serving the Lord. You have a great time serving the Lord. Can I get an amen to that? Isn't that true? And here's the hint. What's at the end of the path? You need to look at what's the end of the path. And you know what the end of that path is? If people aren't living right, that has nothing to do with going to heaven or hell, because that's based on your faith in Christ. But Christians can walk down that path, not doing what they ought to. If you look at what's the end, you know what's the end? Disappointment, regret, sorrow. How many would really have a desire in your heart to hear God say, well done, when you get to heaven? And that's what is at the end of this path. Rewards, not heaven. You know, heaven's not a reward, it's a gift. But God will reward his children that serve him and are faithful to him. And he's going to say, well done. And it's going to be a standing ovation when they get. Isn't that cool? Wouldn't that be what you want? Look at what's the end of the path. That path is always going to end in disappointment. And if it's a path of sin, there's going to be other pain. Because sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. So look at what's at the end of the path and say, I want these things in my life. And I want to go in the right direction in life. And I believe I'm going to reap what I sow. So I see what's going to be at the end of that path. And I'm going to do things that lead me down that path so I can hear God say, well done. And so, what is it I really want? And that'll be a help to you. Here's something else that'll be a help to you. Is number two, be content with the harvest. Be content with the harvest. You know, all we can do is sow. That's our job, is to sow and to serve. And the Bible says, who is it that gives the increase? God does. You know, my wife, I have the greatest wife in the world. Her name's Diane. And she decided she wanted to grow a garden. Okay, she grew a garden. I said, it's just been painful for me personally, okay? I was trying to fix a greenhouse, and I think I did something to my back. I don't know if it'll ever be well again. My joke was, honey, you put so much money into getting this garden going. These are the most expensive tomatoes in the world. But her desire is to grow things. And see, it's been wonderful. She's got it kind of going now. And there's all kinds of tomatoes, strawberries, something like strawberries. There's a whole big thing of strawberries and some peppers, and she's grown some carrots. And we're going to do more and more of that, try to grow stuff. And that's good. But you know what? All the stuff she planted, not all of it grew the way she wanted to. Got some bugs that eat it. Got some people that eat it. Some weeds that choke things out. Some plants that don't, you try all the things they tell you to do. Sometimes you have a harvest, it's just not exactly what you want. And we need to be content with the harvest that God gives. And He is going to give a harvest. Why? Because that principle doesn't change. You reap what you sow. Turn to Matthew 13 quickly. We're running out of time tonight. Matthew 13. So we just need to be content. We read in Psalms 126, it said, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed." Now notice these next two words. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with him. And when you have a burden to reach those for Christ, do you know that you're going to, some are going to come to Christ? And if you don't do anything to share the gospel, you're going to reap what you sow. Nobody will hear that could hear from you. And then if they die in that condition, they'd be separated from God forever. But I think we all understand if you go out and witness to people, not everybody's going to believe. But if we keep sowing, guess what? We're going to reap. We shall doubtless reap. And whatever thing that we do here, we talked about students with studying for their grades. I want to make 100, and you study and study and study, and you make a 92. Hey, you reap something. What if you hadn't studied? Then you would have got your 20 or 30. We need to keep sowing, and we will reap, and God will give the increase. Matthew 13 is a famous parable of the sower, and he sows the seed. And here Christ, get there myself, from Matthew 13. Christ explains the parable that he shared to try to help his disciples understand. And he says in Matthew 13, look in verse 19. He says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. That this is he which receives seed by the wayside." So the first person you see, someone's going to reject. Some will reject the message. Satan's going to blind them. He's going to blind them to the truth of the gospel, that you got to be good to go to heaven. And then he describes the next person, verse 20. "But he that receiveth the seed into stony places is the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended." So here has some that give in to tribulation and difficulties. Hey, we led these people to Christ. I led this person to Christ, and they had some troubles in their life, and they got angry at God and stopped coming to church, stopped doing the things that they should do. And then in verse 22, here's another group. "And he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." So here's someone, just the cares of the world choke him out. But wait a minute, look at verse 23. "But he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Some will believe and hang in there. So what are you trying to say, Pastor Rick? You'll reap what you sow. Be content with the harvest that God gives. He is going to keep that promise. You will reap what you sow. Not everybody's going to believe. Not everybody's going to accept it. We're really running out of time. We could apply this to a lot of things we mentioned tonight. You want your kids to turn out right? Some of your kids might turn out just the way you want them to. Some of them kind of like they want them to. But they're not going to turn out at all if you don't work in their life. Why? Because you're going to reap what you sow. And we need to be content with the harvest that God gives. So what is it that we really want? Be content with the harvest. And then number three, we just need to be patient. We need to be patient. In Galatians chapter 6, did you hold a piece of paper there? Verse 9 is very interesting. Verse 7 is, you'll reap what you sow. But verse 9 says, and let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Many get discouraged over this principle. I'm going to do these things for the Lord. And he said that I'm going to have a harvest, and we get impatient for it. We need to be patient. When is God going to give the increase? In due season. And we just need to be patient about it. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. And I'll just talk about Isaiah 40, verse 31. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Sometimes we have to wait. But there's always going to be a harvest, because whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But sometimes we have to be patient, wait on the Lord. I always like that that passage in Isaiah, because it says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The word renew there has the idea of exchange. I'll exchange my weakness for his strength. I'll receive his strength, and he's going to take my weakness. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is an interesting little passage there. Chapter 6, chapter 7 of Matthew is just so much stuff there, so much meat, so much information. But look in Matthew 6, in verse 33. And the idea of being patient, waiting on the Lord, knowing that you're going to reap what you sow. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek the Lord first. Sow that in your life. And you know what the harvest is going to be? All these things shall be added unto you. The promises of God, the provision that God promises, the strength that God promises will be yours. Why? Because you're going to reap what you sow. And if we live for ourselves, if we live for what the world offers, we're probably not going to have some of the things that we would like to see in our life. Why? Because you always reap what you sow. Now, I focused tonight on just Christians and serving the Lord. But, you know, this reaping and sowing has to do with sin, too, doesn't it? And we're out of time to talk about that. I reap what I sow when I knock the thing off at the carport. And I did something wrong and stupid, and I had to reap the consequences. If you know Christ as your Savior and you said, I want to live for myself, and I don't want to do what I should do for the Lord, and I'm going to stop living for him, stop coming to church, you're going to reap what you sow. If you know Christ, Christ is going to, and not, you just can't, you can do that, but God's not going to let you live as you please. He's going to work in your life. He's going to chasten you, not chastening is never lose your salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. Salvation is eternal. But he is going to try to get your attention, to get you doing back what's right. And sometimes I believe God uses the principle, you reap what you sow, to get Christians' attention. To get their attention. Larry Thompson says, you know, I need a new van. And I'm not too, you know, serious about this spiritual stuff. I'm going to go rob a bank so I can get the money. And I don't care what the Lord might think about it. Well, he robs a bank. He gets arrested. He gets thrown in prison. And God allowed the natural consequences of what he did to get his attention. And because why? Because you reap what you sow. God can just let that play out. It's a principle that never changes. And if we get a grasp, if these are the things I want in my life, that I'd like to do for the Lord, always know you'll reap what you sow. And think about the direction we're going in our lives. What's at the end of that path? And if I want to be at the end of the path where God says, well done, I need to make right choices, because you always reap what you sow. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Again, my message was for those that know Christ. Maybe I think I recognize everyone in here. Probably all have a testimony of faith in Christ. But my message was for Christians, those that know for sure heaven's your home. If you're here tonight, you're not sure about that. You need to set those things aside, what I said, and understand what God says in his word. That you can know without a shadow of doubt before you get up and leave this place that you have everlasting life. I could not promise that to you. I could not give that to you. That's God's promise in his word. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. You see, we're all sinners, and because we're sinners, we owe a debt to God. And our good works, our good deeds cannot pay that debt. But the good news is that Jesus came to do for you and I what we could not do for ourselves, and that is pay for our sin. He came to be the perfect sacrifice, and he died on the cross and shed his blood there, and he paid for our sin. And he rose from the dead to prove that it was paid for. Now he offers to you and I eternal life as a gift if we'll believe that he did that for us. Just realizing, hey, I can't be good enough to go to heaven. I'm a sinner. But I believe Jesus died for me and paid for my sins. And I believe he rose from the dead. And right now, the best know-how, I'm going to trust him as my only hope for heaven. I'm going to trust him as the one who died for me. And if you will trust Christ as your Savior, he will give you everlasting life. When you have everlasting life, then a simple Bible principle that we often forget is that we're going to reap what we sow. And that's not to be negative. That's a positive thing, too. I want to do some things that are right for the Lord. That's what's on my heart to do. Then get busy. When you get busy doing the things that God wants you to do, you're going to have a harvest. Maybe it's not as big as you'd like, but there's going to be a harvest. Why? Because you always reap what you sow. And be content with what God does in your life. God wants to use you, Christian. He wants to do great things in your life. And something that will always help us, if we remember that truth, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Father in heaven, we do thank you for our time together tonight. We thank you for your word. And Father, we just ask your blessing, your safety as we leave this place. We thank you for that truth, Lord, that we can count on, because you're the God of truth. And it's your word that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And we just ask for your blessing as we leave this place. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.